ராமாய ராம பத்ராய ராமச்சந்திராய வேதசே ரகுநாதாய நாதாய சீதாய அஹ்பதயே நமஹ. கிஷ்கிந்தா காண்ட் சாப்டர் நம்பர் 24, சுக்ரீவாஸ் கிரீஃப். தி ரெசிடேஷன் பிகின்ஸ் நவ. Sugriva beheld Tara plunged in depths of grief and watering the earth with her tears, which filled his heart with unspeakable misery. His brother's untimely death at his hands turned his hatred into love and affection. He approached Rama and his ministers with him. As the prince leaned gracefully on his mighty bow, while his keen arrows leaped and shone from his quiver like deadly serpents. Blessed with every noble perfection, he stood there in the halo of his glory, whereat Sugriva addressed him in broken accents, "O noble sir, well have you fulfilled your promise, ah, but too well. I have got back my crown thanks to your valor and prowess. But a nameless disgust fills my heart, and I care not to live or to enjoy the fleeting joys of royalty. Tara, the queen, stands yonder a statue of grief and forlornness. The citizens voice their misery in heart-rending cries. I know not if Angada would survive his father, and he that came with me into the world is now an unsightly corpse. What have I to do with this kingdom hereafter? I entreated you to slay him out of my anger at his driving me away from my kingdom. He took my wife from me and reviled me most shamefully. But now that he is no more, my heart breaks with grief. I deem it more noble to lie in hiding on the heights of Rishimukha, eating the bread of adversity, than lorded over the three worlds as the reward of his death. My noble brother is prudent, far-sighted, and supremely wise. So he said to me, Sugriva, I would not have you done to death. Go back with your life. I but humbled you a bit. Go where you want. Alas, his words were in keeping with his noble presence and mighty intellect, and the cruel death I dealt out to him is in keeping with my mean and treacherous self. Who would shut his eyes to the vast gulf that opens between the power and the rule that accrues from his death and the endless remorse that dogs the crime? Who would blind himself to the wheels of passion and desire and raise a deadly hand against his brother crowned with noble excellences? He would never visit my crime with death, and his generous heart showed itself here. I brought him down like a coward and an assassin, and showed forth my wicked and treacherous heart. He noticed that I was within an inch of death, wounded all over with trees and rocks, and let me off, only saying, "Don't be foolish enough to come against me another time." He maintained his filial affection, his noble character, and kingly tradition. I flaunted my wrath, greed, and fickleness, that is the badge of our race, and slew him. Indra of yore cruelly slew Vishwarupa, the son of Tvashta, and laid in an endless harvest of sin. Even so, I murdered my brother and earned eternal infamy. Nay, the good and the great will tremble to think of it, for there is no remedy to it, no palliation, no end. Find me out anyone who would not hate this, who would turn his heart towards this. The most hardened and abandoned of criminals would never dream of doing it, but would shrink from it in horror. Would they hope or desire to reap any gain from it? Indra divided his heinous sin into four parts and persuaded the earth, the water, the trees, and the women to take it. They got from him the boons they desired and accepted it. Now who would take upon himself the sin of a poor monkey like myself? What boons are there for me to confer in exchange? Tara, Angada, and their friends will never survive Bali. It is but cruel kindness when these citizens honor and respect me, the blackest of sinners, who lay the axe at the root of his clan. I would only pollute the seat of the crown prince that I occupied erstwhile. Why speak of the lordship of this empire? My sin is mean and contemptible, and gives everyone the right to spurn and scorn me as a hateful thing. Like the rains that fill the valleys and overflow the lands beyond, My remorse threatens to whelm me in its depths. My sin is a mad elephant of mountainous bulk. The crime of fratricide is its tail and lower limbs, and remorse forms from its trunk, eyes, head, and tusks. It batters me down as if I were some tottering river bank. My sense of justice and my reason abandon me in utter abhorrence of my sin. Even as the dross and ore melt away from the gold in the crucible, the monkeys are ready to die at the sight of my fell deed and the heart-rending misery of Angada. It might be the fortune of some to beget sons of noble excellences and blameless life, but rare, utterly rare it is to come upon such a son as Angada here. And is there a land where dear brothers are to be had at any price? If Angada survives, Tara too will keep her hold on life to watch over him. But if he dies, she dies too from grief. Nay, this is well known to me. So there is but one road that I will take to reach the side of my brother and son, the blazing pyre. These monkeys will bring you back tidings of Sita. Your purpose would be achieved whether I live or not. The blackest of sinners I, the doom of my race. I am too heavy a burden for this earth. Pray, give me leave to pass through the fire. Was Rama known to have any affair of his own at heart than that of those who sought his protection? Vali is my mortal foe, cried Sugriva, and forthwith Rama regarded him as his foe and slew him out of hand. Now his friend was sobbing as if his heart would break, and albeit himself the proud scion of the race of Ikshvaku, and his ally was but a poor monkey, he was unmanned for a while, and hot tears blinded his eyes. Then Tara wept and wailed out of her overmastering grief, and glanced again and again at him, which perceiving, Raghuveera softly approached her to pour sweet balm upon her wounded heart, for he was as patient as Mother Earth and the guardian of the myriad worlds. The monkey chiefs asked her ladies to appraise her of the approach of the prince as she lay with her arms around the neck of her beloved. She glanced over her shoulder and perceived that Raghava swung his terrible bow lightly and gracefully as he came. His splendor illumined the quarters as if a million suns rose in the mid-sky. Every auspicious sign of royalty adorned his noble presence. With timid eyes like those of a startled fawn, the daughter of Sushena had never beheld that lord of men whose eyes put to shame the delicate petals of the red lotus. Yet she knew without the shadow of a doubt that he was Rama, the noblest gem in the crown of the Ikshvakus, the redoubtable hero whose single arrow laid low the invincible Vali, the mighty one whose portrait was so well painted for her by Angada, the ideal prince of countless perfection, whose praises were in everyone's mouth. The star-eyed Tara noticed the beautiful eyes of Rama. Her limbs trembled with grief and exhaustion. She threatened to faint every moment, yet she mastered herself with a mighty effort and advanced to meet Rama, the matchless hero who rivaled Mahendra in valor and whom none dared to approach in his anger. Her frame quivered with wrath at the sight of the wonderful warrior who could, with a single shaft, bring down her husband, and she felt impelled to taunt and revile him to her heart's content. Yet his mysterious presence robbed her heart of anger and hate. Her noble nature asserted itself, and she who came to abuse and blame launched out into gracious praise. You are the fittest treasure house of noble perfections. The world of God set itself out to say, this mighty being do I know, but ended lamely with who knows. Hence the omniscient Veda itself knows you not. Maybe he knows, maybe he too knows not, says the Shruti later on. then you too know not the mystery that shrouds yourself. What matters it that we see you face to face in flesh and blood? Your power and greatness are beyond the loftiest reach of thought. A bow and arrows grace your hands now. Yet I know that the conch and disc adorn them in your home on high. Even when you come down among mortals, that they may see and profit by it all the more, you are as inscrutable a mystery to them as ever. Lone and unaided as you seem, marvelous past belief, past the wildest fancy are your deeds, even as though countless armies were at your back with every possible material of offense and defense. Your perfections are countless, unparalleled, and illimitable, yet wonder of wonders, all of them are contained somehow in your slight human form. Who could identify the seemingly mild and innocent mortal that stands before me in majestic calm with the mighty hero whose single arrow struck down Vali, the holy terror of Ravana, Dundabi, Mayavi, Golaba, and other renowned warriors? Evidence of various kinds is our means of knowledge of things, but they fail to bring you within our ken. Direct perception, inference, and revelation throw not the faintest light on the dark mystery of your being. Neither time nor boundless duration can measure you. Eternal space cannot gauge you, the omnipresent. Nor can substance set a limit to him whose garment is the visible and the invisible worlds. The souls cried out in their impotence to sense and reach you in your pristine greatness and prayed you to come down among them as man to man. But your very kindness and affability are in themselves a deep mystery. You came to these wilds in the garb of a hermit, apparently in obedience to your father's commands. Viradha, Kabandha, Vali, and many others met their death at your hands in consequence. No one can say he has fathomed the motives that underlie your thoughts and deeds. Let be. The inner senses, antahkarana, may fail to reach you, but the organs of sense and action may fare better? No. More hopeless still, could the body pierce deeper and see clearer than the mind? The wicked whose feet never stray into the paths of right and justice despair of approaching you. Many rushed at you to take revenge for the death of Vali, but one and all shrank back in pale terror from your sight. Sophistry dialects break their teeth in vain upon the mystery of yourself. I suspected that you slew Vali out of greed for his kingdom and his women, but I hastened to correct myself because I found you utterly passionless, utterly insensible to the subtle temptations of the senses. In life, no man comes across a woman, but he turns back to take another look at her. Now here I have been standing, talking to you face to face so long, and I cannot sufficiently admire your stern self-control that you would not even raise your eyes to my face. You are the only one to my knowledge that can hold his rebellious senses in perfect restraint and direct them where he will, along the path that leads to the highest good. The Shruti speaks of him that he sees without eyes, hears without ears, speeds quicker than thought without feet, grasps without hands. Even so, you know everything at all times and in all places without the medium of the senses. You are beyond the utmost flight of the fleet mind and the treacherous senses. Indra lusted after Ahalya. Brahma could not weed his heart of incestuous love for his daughter. Chandra dared not to defile the bed of his teacher. And so the list runs on endless of those that bow their proud necks beneath the feet of love. All but you. The first and the most complete victory over the senses was achieved by your noble self. A doubt crossed my mind whether such a passionless mortal would obey the dictates of Dharma, for had he not visited his anger upon us, alas, too cruelly? But deeper thought revealed to me that you acted so to protect those that took refuge in your mercy. You are the uncompromising exponent of the highest dharma. The lowest of its followers do nothing unless it is in their interests. The middling seek their benefit and that of others. But the noblest are those whose heart ever seeks the welfare of others. He whose soul delights in the proper performance of the duties of his rank and order is a warrior in the ranks of dharma. But the noblest of them all is he who stands at the goal of the path of devotion. And you are that great one who has set himself the task of protecting those who take refuge in him. You and you alone live out the dharma that is taught for us in the passage. The teacher is the means. Through his grace we pass beyond the portals that lead to the world of the Supreme Lord. A disciple of dharma regards it as the highest virtue to abstain from any harm, the slightest, to all beings. But the noblest of the whole lot is yourself, who stand between the miserable and their misery. You extended your protection to the sad Sugriva and showed yourself an adherent of dharma. You slew Vali, the sinner, purified him by the baptism of blood, and raised him to the highest heavens. So you are the noblest of them all. I doubted for a while whether I could call you so when you have slain Vali from a covert position, and he utterly guiltless of any offense to you. But I consoled myself with saying, Vali wrought evil to Sugriva, who is your devotee. Further, it is no crime to kill a monkey from a covert position, because every hunter does it. Nay, the Kshatriyas deem it as a disgrace to stand against a beast in fight. So your fame remains spotless and unsullied. Far-sighted beyond mortal count, you never set your hand to do a thing without discussing thoroughly its possibilities for good and for evil. Hence, he caused Sugriva to sustain for once a defeat at the hands of Vali, because the latter had not harmed him in the least in your presence. Again, you caused a garland of flowers to be hung round the neck of your friend to distinguish him from your foe. I thought that your vengeance would be wreaked on my husband and spend itself on his wife, son, ministers, kin, captains, and others. But judging from the affection and forbearance you displayed in the case of Angada, I thought that Mother Earth would hide her shame before you. For your single person contains in itself as much patience and calmness as it spread over her vast measureless bulk of 50 crores of yojanas. The fiery wrath has not yet died away from your eyes. But your kindness and consideration for those that are dear and near to your enemy is simply wonderful. Are your eyes red out of incessant weeping for Sita, or love for your protege, Sugriva? You wield your bow and arrows to protect the good and punish the wicked. Boundless of might, your beauty is divine, supernal. And you have come down in mortal guise to walk among men and charm their hearts away. But at any moment you can resume your awful majesty of Godhead, of divine eminence. Shoot straight the shaft that deprived me of my husband and send me after him, for he cannot bear to be away from me. My Lord, with eyes lovely as the red lotus petals, would wander in vain through the halls and bowers, glades and woods of Swarga to catch a sight of me. He will find me not, and the gay apparel and ornaments of the fascinating Apsaras there would fail to draw a glance from his eyes. Look well into your heart, how it bleeds for the wife torn from your side. Recall the sighs, the tears, the laments that make the heights of Rishimukha a veritable hall of mourning. Then you will, in a way, sympathize with and feel for my lot in Swarga, yet pale with grief at being parted from me. None knows better than yourself the misery, the agony that men in the flush of their youth, health, and happiness suffer when their beloved is snatched away from their arms. So slay me too. Let not my Lord look in vain for me in his home on high. Fear not that you will incur the heinous sin of killing a poor defenseless woman. For I am Bali, soul of his soul, his better half. And you but complete your dread exploit when you send me to his side. The sacred word has it that the wife is the twin soul of the husband. She is no other than he. And this is found in practice in such religious rites as the Yagas. Nay, it is an act of merit, for the wise say that there is no higher act of charity, no greater gift than to give one a wife. Above all, you are the noblest exponent of Dharma, for I see your heart grieve sore with the grief of Sugriva for the cruel death of his heroic brother. And this gift would be an expiation enough for such a crime. Vali has deceived me and has left me behind him to face all this misery and pain. Now, is it not an act of justice on your part to slay me and give welcome relief from corroding care? Do you dream for a moment that I would survive my beloved Vali of matchless beauty, prowess and intellect? Thus did she lament and wail many a while, when the noble-hearted Rama consoled her and opened her eyes to the truth. A warrior's wife, the proudest and the noblest of his kind, you reason not aright. Destiny brings into existence the myriad worlds and guides them on. The people believe that good and evil, happiness and misery flow from it. All created beings are yoked to its chariot and none dare set himself against it. I see not how you could fare worse in future than in Vali's time. Nay, your son would rule the kingdom as a crown prince. I see the unerring hand of fate in what took place till now. A hero's wife, a warrior's consort, it ill becomes you to grieve and rail at fate and its inscrutable decrees. Tara was consoled somewhat by the sweet and sympathetic words of Rama. Her heart grew lighter as she saw that his arm was powerful enough to make Angada the crown prince, exterminate his foes, and confer on him all good and happiness. Mangala Koshlendraya Mahniya Gunavdi Chakravarti Dhanurjaya Sarva Bhomaya Mangalam.